Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. This is Phil Williams hosting the biggest show in the afternoons across North Alabama, Right Side Radio. And like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, we are about to head into one of my favorite segments of the entire week, where we actually gather up with some folks that I think are pretty sharp themselves. Dale Jackson from WVNN right here in town. Dale, you on the line with us?
We have here, a Dale. I'm excited.
You are excited, and you are excited. And we've also got Jeff Poor from 106.5 down on the coast. Jeff, are you with us, buddy?
I'm here.
You are here. All right, I declare a quorum to be present. Copper, hit the sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right. You know the rules, gentlemans. And I think most of y'all, by the way, are up in D.C. right now. So I'm not sure if that'll influence you. But nonetheless, the rules are we ask each other questions. We wait to see how the answers go. We don't agree all the time, but we love each other nonetheless. So I'm going to start with Dale this time. Dale, you lead off.
All right, since we're in Washington, D.C., and they are currently trying to figure out what they're going to do up here, will they get either the $1.2 or the $3.5 trillion spending bill done?
Jeff, you go first.
Less than 50% chance. Don't ever discount Pelosi too much. Pull a rabbit out of the hat because she is Nancy Pelosi. But there are consequences if they could start lowering the price and you lose votes on one side. And in order to get Republican votes on board, you lose progressive votes. This bill, there's just too wide of a gulf to gap there to get enough people, I think, on board to get it passed. But maybe there is a third way where Pelosi can offer something up to keep the progressives interested, and then she gets it through. But then, and the Senate's a little heavier of a lift, but I say less than 50%.
I agree. I think it's less than 50%. I totally agree with that. The reality is Pelosi is she is a master negotiator, apparently, more like a master arm twister maybe. But I think they're going to have to literally come up with that $3.5 trillion. They're going to have to cut it down to something and present it to progressives and say, this is what we will do and we can get it passed if you'll vote on the smaller bipartisan bill, you know, small being relative. But I think Jeff's got it nailed. Dale, what do you think?
I think you're probably right on all of this. I think that this whole thing has become a giant mess and a disaster, and the sooner it's over for them, the better.
Yep, I think the Biden agenda is crumbling at his feet. All right, Jeff Rowe, you take the next one, brother.
Well, I'm going to bring it back home to Alabama, and let's talk about this prison plan now. Talking to some members, some staffers, about where the Ivy administration went wrong in their interpretation of this ARPA money that was going to be applied to prisons, that if you look at the bill, the interpretation of it could be if you want to spend this money, it had to be a project that was already in the works. And because they're shutting down, by virtue of that, you lost tax revenue. This is how you're supposed to spend it to make up for it. That might be the stipulation there, and that might be problematic. However, this bill looks like it's done. A special session is going to get done with it. What do you think happens if the federal government, after everything is said and done, says, no, you can't use ARPA funds to finance prison construction?
So what I think they'll do on that, Jeff, I mean, if they wind up with a $400 million hole in their spending, and I covered this pretty you know, it in depth yesterday on my show, if they come up with a $400 million hole because somehow Jerry Nadler did write a letter that made a difference to Treasury and they don't get the approval to use that $400 million out of ARPA, I think what they're going to come back is they're going to go ahead and do a contingency financing on it, and they'll come back during the regular session and pass something that either allows them to increase their bond limit or that they will tap into the state trust fund. But that requires, of course, a vote of the people. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to stop the plan. I think it's going to pass this week, but I think they'd have to fill it with one of those two alternatives. Dale?
I don't think Jerry Nadler will accomplish anything with his little letter. He can do whatever he wants. He can jump up and down about this. All sorts of states are doing all sorts of things with this money that it wasn't originally designed for, because it was written that way to just do it. Here, have some money, do some stuff. So that's what they're doing, and I think that they're going to find that there's not much Jerry Nadler can do about this. So tough, Jerry Nadler. Nothing's going to happen here. They're going to take this money, they're going to build these prisons, and they're going to tell Jerry Nadler to do something about it.
Doesn't Jerry Nadler look like somebody who like ought to be on a cartoon, or maybe in a Lord of the Rings movie or something? I mean, just bugs me sometimes. But all right,
we were talking about this earlier today, Phil. It is, there's an episode, or there's a TV show called Rocco's Modern Life from the 90s. He's Mr. Bighead from those shows.
Yes. Yes, I can see it. All right. All right, listen, folks, let me bring it back even further home. So this week we had a major endorsement announcement. One of the players in Montgomery is ALFA, the Alabama Farmers Federation. And they don't just endorse from central headquarters. They only endorse after the regional councils have all agreed. And so they chose Katie Britt over Mo Brooks. And I think Mo Brooks is the only incumbent that they did not endorse in the major races. Do you see this having any impact upon voters in the general sense based upon the polling we've seen so far? Go Dale.
I think that we've learned that when ALFA endorses against Mo Brooks goes, oh, wait, that doesn't happen. No, it won't do much at all.
Jeff, what you think, bud?
Can you probably use about 10-point bump out of that? Just by virtue of the ALFA, they will back their candidates in a big way. It doesn't always work out that way for them. They often lose, but ALFA should get something out of it. It's not enough to get her in striking distance. I don't think there's a lot of work to be done there. I just look further down that ticket, and it's all these incumbents. The one that's interesting to me, I guess, the auditor's race, Glover getting that announcement, that might be the difference maker for him against Sorrell, because looking at that race, you had to think that might have, maybe could have been a coin flip either way.
At the very least, it's going to get him some Alpha Pack money. We know that. But yeah, that was the one that I saw that stood out too, is the Glover endorsement. All right, fellas, we got time for one more for the break, so I'll go back. Who did we start with, Migo? Dale, was it you the one that started?
Me.
Go ahead, bud. Sir. What's your next one?
All right, when they talk about all this stuff about vaccine mandates in Alabama, I'm going to continue hammering this home. It looks like they're not going to do anything about this in this special session about banning vaccine mandates or anything like that, although there seems to be some people in the legislature who seem interested in it. Will they ever come back in touch on this, or will they hope this all just goes away?
I'll be honest with you, man. I'll just go ahead and say that, first of all, the Alabama Policy Institute signed on to a letter last week. I helped review it. That encouraged the governor to call a special session just for that sole purpose of rejecting vaccine mandates. And so the governor has a pretty large list of medical practitioners and conservative advocacy groups that are saying, please do this. I think you're going to wind up seeing it's not going to happen in special session. My hope is they'll do something in the regular session. But right now it just feels like they don't want to make waves on anything related to COVID, which drives me crazy. And you saw that by the virtue of the fact that the legislature didn't even really show up at all, last year. They didn't even make noise about the fact that they weren't allowed to come in and act. So the idea that they're going to act now is to me pretty far-fetched. And so I don't think there'll be a special on COVID vaccine mandates. Jeff, what do you think?
No, there's not going to be a special session on COVID vaccine mandates. That's probably fifth or sixth down the priority list, actually. I think reapportionment obviously going to happen in October. And then, if there was to be another special session, maybe they go gaming, but I don't know that. I don't think the vaccine issue is going to, it's going to have to wait until the next session.
Yep, I agree. All right, fellas, look, we got to head into a short break. When we come back from this break, I think, Jeff, you're going to be up next. Folks, we are listening to the Grand Council, my brethren, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Two radio personalities in their own right who do an amazing job and actually have some pretty sharp opinions. Phil Williams here hosting Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back after this break with the Grand Council. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We are back with the Grand Council. My two other brethren, Jeff Poor from 106.5 down on the coast, formerly with WVNN, and Dale Jackson, our program director and morning show host right here on VNN. All right, fellas, we're back, and Jeff, you are up with the next question for the council. What you got, man?
Yeah, so one of the publications I write for lost a Alabama Supreme Court case late last week on Alabama's open records law. What had happened was they challenged Baldwin County, who was withholding camera footage from a officer-involved shooting resulted in the death of an individual, but said that you're not entitled to this under Alabama's open records law because it's part of an investigation. So the Supreme Court ruled in the favor of the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office, and whatever you want to make of that is fine, but Alabama's open record laws, what do you think? They leave a lot to be desired as far as I can tell.
Well, they do, and so I guess this is commentary time. So, yeah, Chief Justice Tom Parker, he's the one who came back and kind of gave that a body slam. He said this is the end of the Open Records Act as far as he's concerned, and he's not far off of that. And I'll be honest with you, Chief Justice Parker is one of my favorite jurists. He's also was one of the ones who was there back in the founding days of the Alabama Policy Institute, and when he speaks, I tend to listen. I know there are some exceptions, generally speaking, to the Open Records Act. You can't use it for the purpose of harassment. You can't be seeking out personal information about individuals. You also can't use it to try and get a leg up for competition on a contract. But in this case, I'm a little shocked that it went the way it did, and I'm surprised. I think this is something that's going to have to be reviewed, perhaps even at the Supreme Court level of the United States. Dale?
It's the only way it's going to get done any differently is if it is reviewed at the Supreme Court level, because the legislature has shown no appetite to address this in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and I don't believe they are going to. And so this is a conservative Republican bench, basically, on the Supreme Court, Alabama Supreme Court, and the idea that the conservative Republicans, or allegedly conservative Republican legislature, is going to do something to kind of swipe back at them is probably not going to happen. All right, fellers. Jeff, you got any more commentary on that?
Yeah, let me weigh in on that. And I'm not gonna necessarily disagree with what the Alabama Supreme Court did, because I think the Alabama Supreme Court did what they were supposed to. They are supposed to rule on state law. This is a federal law. It's a federal constitutional issue. Their ruling based on state law is probably the right one. That they interpreted how they interpreted it, although very broadly. And it is probably on the shoulders of the legislature to act, but the federal courts is where this is. I think y'all are right. The federal courts is where this is the best venue for this to have been challenged, and maybe in a federal courtroom, you see something done here.
Well, if the ACLU or the Southern Poverty Law Center can get it in front of Judge Myron Thompson, we'll see something happen. I can guarantee you. All right, folks. Hey, listen. Here's my question. So, going back to this big, huge spending spree attempt they're having up in D.C., you guys, listen. Let me ask you. This is like a political view question right here. All right. So the spending measure mandate, or the what they're trying to do with spending upwards of $5 trillion between the two major spending bills, but it's failing right now. Does this indicate a weakening of the progressive wing of the Dem Party? Or are they going to come back emboldened and make life miserable for Pelosi from here on? What do you think, Jeff Rowe?
Well, I mean, I think it shows them as irrelevant to this conversation, because what you have is Sinema and Manchin, who can do whatever they want. And if they can't stop them, those two are able to control the whole thing. They get mad at all they want, but that doesn't help. I mean, beating up on Sinema and Manchin for months has not helped them one bit, so I don't see how they get more power this way.
Jeff, what do you think, man?
I think you're reading it wrong. I think it's the opposite. I think I think that the progressive wing, compared to where they were, say, 10 years ago, they're much further along. They're going to derail this whole process. It's going to be the progressives' fault if this doesn't come together. They could act like suicide bombers at this point and really wreck the process for Pelosi, whereas you know, one time it really was the moderates. It really was the Problem Solvers Caucus that you would look to a gang of whatever to get something passed. Now they can't do that. What is going to happen here, because they can't get the moderates or the progressives on the same page? Progressives have more power than they've ever had. I think that power just grows over time.
I think you're right, and I think we're going to watch is things like Ocasio-Cortez, who has her own PAC right now. She's out there trying to fund super progressive candidates in other places. Joe Manchin came out today, and he said that if the progressives don't like his stance on this spending bill, they can go to the polls next time and try to get somebody to replace him. Well, I think that's exactly what they're going to try and do. They're going to try and grow their ranks because they love the idea that they got this close. They could smell that bill. They could just see the things like tree equity and the Climate Conservation Corps and green energy buildings and all of it. They could see it happening, and now it's all being pulled away. I think they smelled the barn, and I'm thinking they're going to come back. And to use your phrase, I think suicide bombers is what they're going to be. They're going to be sniping and diving at everything, trying to get little pieces of it built back into other bills because they realize they shouldn't have tried to do it all in one big bite. But that's where it is. Well, fellas, I think that's all we got time for. Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick to add to that, there's no moderate PACs. There's no moderate political movement. There's no energy in the moderate wing. It's the progressives that are growing, and that seems to be where the energy is right now.
Well, we better start seeing more out of the Freedom Caucus types, too, because there's going to have to be a counter to that. And if we don't have a growth in the Tea Party Freedom Caucus-style guys that are going to D.C., there's not going to be much to put in their way. So, hey, fellas, I appreciate you. You guys be safe traveling. Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor, Grand Council, we appreciate you, as always, being with us here on Right Side Radio. Take care, guys. All right, folks, listen, that was my Grand Council. I enjoy those guys. And, you know, and the opinions you get out of them, those guys are both sharp. I mean, they've been doing this for a while. And Jeff Poor, he writes for Breitbart. He does stuff for Lanyap. He contributes to, both of them contribute to Yellowhammer. Dale's on multiple venues with shows in both Birmingham and Huntsville. And to have them on the show with us once a week, to me, adds a whole lot of flavor to what we're doing here. And I certainly, it's always interesting to me when I think I know something and I hear them have a twist on it that I had not even thought of yet. And it's like, man, I wish I'd thought of that. Anyway, Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor, the Grand Council, every Thursday, 4 o'clock. And it's just good. I just like it. That's good synergy. All right, folks, listen, we've been running through the triple dipper, all right? The triple dipper for the day has been Australia. Is it still really the land of the free? Government spending, number two, is a Democrat civil war right now in D.C., and it's fun to watch. And number three, in a minute, when we come back from the next break, we're going to be talking about the prison plan down in Montgomery because it is moving forward, and there has been some shakeups. There have been some interesting developments. There have been some things that have happened in that special session down in Montgomery. Whether you knew it or not, your state legislature, your state house and Senate are down there right now going at it on bills that are truly important to the state. But they're also going to spend about $1.2 to $1.3 billion of your tax money and have to borrow some money to do it, which is a crying shame. But it kind of left with no other recourse but to do it that way. It's something to watch, folks. Hey, listen, we're going to be right back in a minute. I'm going to open the phone lines up, too, 866-494-9866. You heard me talk about Australia earlier. You heard me talk about being free and knowing that when I'm in a foreign country, which I've been many times, that I've still been proud of where I'm from. What is one of your favorite stories of being outside the United States and recognizing the value of what we have back home? I'd love to hear your perspective. When you've traveled anywhere, what made you glad that you were an American? I want to hear those perspectives. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.